Welcome to episode 43 of the New Testament Gospels and Epistles. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church and creator of this series. With this episode, I begin a discussion of what I am calling other unique details which are found only in the Gospel of St. John. I begin with larger details and then conclude with several small but still interesting details, especially those concerning Jesus' references to concepts of time. Only John reports the plotting of the Pharisees and chief priests, called the Sanhedrin Council, and mentioning by name the high priest Caiaphas, who met to plot Jesus' death in the days after the raising of Lazarus and before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This account also contains the only reference in Scripture to Jesus' withdrawal from public view among the Jews that is found in chapter 11, verses 53 and 54. Then from that day on they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. In chapter 13, St. John reports a statement by Jesus concerning a new commandment that appears only in St. John's Gospel. The time is Maundy Thursday, after Judas had left the Last Supper to betray Jesus, and the point at which Jesus prophesies Peter's three denials. Chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The word for love is once again the Greek agapao, as in Jesus' first two questions of Peter, which I discussed in episode 41. This kind of love is not often properly understood in the Western Church. It is not sexual love or lust or even brotherly love or familial love, but a transcending kind of love, that is, the unqualified love God showed for his creation in sending his only begotten Son. John also used the same word, plus its variant, agape, many times in his first and second epistles. Jesus uses the same phrases again in chapter 15, verses 9 to 17, from which the following verses, 9, 10, 12, and 13, are extracted. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Here the Greek words for love are once again agapao or agape, but here another word is added, abide, from the Greek meno, which most often has a spiritual rather than a literal meaning, that is, that the teachings of Jesus, or his commandments, should abide in the hearts of the faithful. This idea is central for practitioners of Christian spirituality, which I discuss in the AIC bookstore publication, Christian Spirituality and Anglican Perspective, available at amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. The theme appears again in a different context in chapter 17. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you loved me. That's chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. The next detail is something that did not happen in the Gospel of St. John. In the Synoptic Gospels, in Matthew 26, verses 30, and again in 36 to 46, in Mark 14, 26, continued in 32 to 42, and in Luke 22, 39 to 46, reference is made to what Jesus did and said in the garden at Gethsemane. John refers to this same period in just one sentence, chapter 18, verse 1. He went with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden in which he and his disciples entered. Of the period of prayer and emotional distress described in the Synoptics, and which is the source of the reference to, quote, by thy bloody sweat in the Book of Common Prayer, St. John tells us nothing. Instead, before mentioning this visit to the garden, St. John reports the series of prayers and pronouncements that are generally known as Jesus' final discourse with the disciples. These are not found in any other gospel. In St. John's account, there is nothing of the drama described in the garden in the Synoptics. John writes of Jesus speaking of many ideas which would become Christian doctrine, the proclamation of two of the final three I Am sayings, the way, the truth, and the life in 14:6, the true vine in 15:1, which I discussed in detail in episode 35, and the first of which includes details of his relationship with his Father and the path to salvation through faith in him, which I discussed in episode 40. His announcement of the coming of and the work of the Holy Spirit in chapter 14, verses 15 to 17, and again in John 16, verses 5 to 15, the foretelling of the ascension in chapter 16, verses 16 to 33, and a set of prayers called the high priestly prayers in the Eastern Church tradition, including his prayer for himself in 17:1-5, for the apostles in 17:6-19, for the future church in 17:20-23, and finally for all others in John 17, verses 24-26. The next group of unique details is not about great declarations, but about small details or lesser events in which John delivers a spiritual message. These verses include several references to lifted up, to time or hour, to the devil and Satan, the Father's plan for mankind in theology called the divine economy, and also touch upon other themes referred to in previous episodes, including the relationship between the Father and the Son, the contrast between light and darkness, truth and falsehood, good and evil. To link these topics together, I am going to tie them to St. John's quotations of the phrase lift up or lifted up, as mentioned by Jesus, and which are both a prophecy of his death upon the cross and indirectly of his ascension to the Father. The first of these is chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is saying that his coming death, that is, his propitiatory sacrifice of himself on the cross, a phrase used by St. John in 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2a, will be a ransom for the sins of mankind since Adam and Eve, and that through belief in him, mankind may have access to the kingdom of heaven. You will find an extended discussion of propitiation and why the words atonement and expiation used in some Bible translations miss much of St. John's intended meaning, and you'll find that in the entry of the same name, propitiation, in the Layman's Lexicon, available at amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. Jesus uses the phrase again in chapter 8, verse 28, following St. John's account of the I am the light of the world declaration in 8:12, and once again he clarifies the relationship between the Father and the Son that I discussed in episode 41. Here is John 8:28. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, again from the Greek ego eime, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. The next topic is Jesus' use of words which in modern English are translated in reference to time. These often left listeners confused. Throughout St. John's Gospel, Jesus' reference to the concepts of time were not understood either by the audiences who followed him and even by the apostles themselves. The most frequently used of these words are hour, a little while, and time. Only the first of which will be discussed in this episode, with the remaining topics discussed in episode 44. These are difficult concepts to grasp for modern people who often forget that mechanical clocks were not invented for another 14 centuries in Western Europe, primarily by Dutch inventors. Without such convenient ways to understand time, people in the Old Testament era expressed time in reference not in hours, minutes, days, weeks, or years, but by relating them to the memory of the one who ruled at a given time. These periods were often called ages, or in Hebrew, ever, as in the two phrases ages of ages in the Eastern Church, or in modern language, forever and ever. For example, instead of specifying a particular year, Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah 6:1 of his vision of the throne of God, in the year King Uzziah died. Jesus uses the word hour 21 times in the King James translation of the Gospel of St. John. Hour comes from the Greek hora, which means moment, as in first hour, sunrise, ninth hour, noon, but sometimes means an unspecified day or event. In the Gospel of St. John, Jesus uses hour to suggest the inevitability of the event, but leaves its actual timing unspecified. Here in St. John's account of the first miracle or sign at Cana, Jesus says in John 2, verse 4, speaking to the Blessed Virgin Mary, "My hour has not yet come." The most quoted use of the same phrases is found in John 4, verses 23 and 24. The significance of the phrase is not explained in John's Gospel until chapters 12, 14, and 20. It occurs in the conversation with the Samaritan woman, St. Photina, at the well of Jacob. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." The first sentence, "the hour is coming and now is," is an opening sentence in Anglican morning prayer. here hour increases the sense of anticipation. Is it imminent? Is it immediate? In Christian theology, the hour of his coming again is always imminent, which means it could be right now, tomorrow, or an unknown later date. Calculated in God's time, not man's time, tied to a 24-hour clock. Traditional teaching is that one should not attempt to calculate the exact hour or moment, but should always be ready. The second sentence in that same reading is one of the reasons the Eastern Church designated St. John as John the Theologian, and the phrase I speak of is God is Spirit in verse 24. Some modern translations incorrectly, I think, convey St. John's meaning by rendering it as God is a Spirit. In the AIC bookstore publication mentioned earlier, the Layman's Lexicon, I explained with scriptural citations that God is Spirit refers to his divine energy, or the energies of God, that is, the manner in which he has appeared throughout the Old and New Testaments. Through these means, we, quote, see, unquote, God, since, as God said to Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 33:20, no one can see him and live. Some examples are the voice from the burning bush, the pillar of fire which accompanied the Hebrew people in the wilderness, the voice from heaven just discussed, the trembling of the earth, and the darkness at noon at the crucifixion. I suggest that in St. John's Gospel account, he was being faithful to the early church prohibition against depictions of God the Father in human form. This rule was not broken until the Renaissance, and then only in the Western Church. Icons of Jesus were permitted because mankind literally did see Jesus as a man. Thus, for St. John, God is Spirit. I discuss these and other aspects of how mankind can see God in the AIC bookstore publication, Christian Spirituality, An Anglican Perspective, which I mentioned at the start of this episode. In the dialogue with the Pharisees in chapter 12, after the entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the following exchange occurs. In it, Jesus asks a hypothetical question to which he offers an explanation that includes a prophecy of the fate that awaits him less than a week in the future. Here is John 12, verses 27 and 28a. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Immediately afterward, a voice thundered from heaven, heard by all, in 12:28b, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus explains that the voice did not come for him, and he says that in John 12:29, and John explains it was not the voice of an angel, as the listeners thought. And Jesus again, in verses 30 and 31, returns to the lifted-up language spoken earlier in John's Gospel. This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. If I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. The allusion, ruler of this world, is a reference to Satan, being lifted up or dying a human death upon the cross, his personal ransom, that is, his death and resurrection, overturns Satan's hold on this world, and thus death in the human sense is no longer the end, but the beginning. St. John's interpretation in his first epistle is found in the comfortable words in the Anglican Holy Eucharist liturgy, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins," from 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. For more on the connection between his death and salvation, see the entry for propitiation in the Layman's Lexicon, which I mentioned earlier in this episode. Much later in St. John's Gospel, in John 16:32, continued in 17:1, the language becomes more specific, suggesting immediacy. "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone." This is followed by this in the first verse in the next chapter in John 17:1. "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." Next time in episode 44, I complete my discussion of Jesus' references to time in the form of a little while and the word time itself, and one unique final detail found only in the Gospel of St. John, after which I will begin a discussion of five unique events found only in the Gospel of St. John. Thank you for joining me for episode 43 of the New Testament Gospels and Epistles. This internet ministry is entirely supported by public contributions and by book sales. You can help by making a donation in any amount payable to the Anglican Internet Church and sending it to our business office address, 7162 Southwind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia 23111. Or you can purchase any of our books through my author page, www.amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. 100% of all royalties from the sale of these books is contributed to the Anglican Internet Church. Or you can like us and subscribe to our podcast at our Podbean site, which hosts our extensive collection of over 450 MP3 podcasts on a variety of topics, and which can be heard on computers, laptops, smartphones, tablets, and other portable devices. While you are at our YouTube page, I invite you to join our Google Plus circle by clicking the subscribe button. As a Google Plus member, you'll receive notice of each new video. Our unique new URL address is www.youtube.com/C/St. John C, with the word Saint spelled out. You can also follow us and like us on our Facebook page at the address on the screen, or by using the link on the homepage at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch, and once at the site, bookmark it for easy return. You can read and subscribe to my weekly blog posts at https://anglicaninternetchurch.wordpress.com. Finally, you can request to receive the weekly update, a weekly email with the latest news and links to the most recent videos, podcasts, blog posts, and publications. Send your request to me by email at fron.stjohnanglican@earthlink.net. The names and email addresses of all recipients of the weekly update are blocked to protect your privacy, and you can remove your name at any time simply by sending another email request. If you'd like to speak with me personally about this program or any other subject, please call 804-559-2484. 2690 between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. If you do not reach me, please leave your name, a message, and a callback number. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.